and he's going to give it to someone else, and you will have nothing. You will be standing there naked on the day of the wedding feast, and he's going to say, how did you get in here without any clothes on? What did you do with my talents? I buried them in the earth. Get him out of here. I don't want to see him. I don't know who this guy is. Does anybody here know him? No, we don't know him. Well, then we're going to have to ask you to leave. Actually, we're going to escort you out. It's not going to be a pretty day. The gospel of the kingdom is going to be preached. I don't know if I'll ever see the end times, and I don't much care because my duties are the same. I've got to run the race. I've got to train. I've got to strive for the mastery. You know, no man that strives for masteries. You got to be temperate in all things. We strive for an incorruptible crown. You got to endure to the end. There's all kinds of scriptures, you know, right? What happened to the seed that fell on the stony ground? What happened? Well, I mean, the thing is, Jesus taught us some things about endurance, right? And they want to say, no, just believe. When you believe, then you're saved forever. I was saved forever before I believed. Because God chose me to believe, and I believed, and therefore I am saved. Because my calling and election becomes sure to me when I see works happening like belief. And I say, oh, I believe, therefore I'm going to be saved. And Jesus is Lord, so I'm going to listen to Jesus. And Jesus teaches me things, and I do what Jesus says. And I seek what Jesus says I ought to seek. I seek first the kingdom of God. I seek first his righteousness. Right? I seek all those things, and then God sends them to me. And they come to me, because I diligently seek them. I keep seeking them, in spite of the fact that I may not receive them all at once. Just like Jesus. He sat down at the right hand of God. All things are subject to him, but we don't see everything yet subject to him. There's a lot of things still running loose in the world, not subject to him. I mean, I'm barely subject to him. And so if I'm barely subject to them, how much less is the world subject to him? But God says all things will be subject to him. But I believe that. And I know it's coming. I don't yet see it happen, but I believe it's going to be. But remember, that parable of the sower, what happened? The sower, it was on stony ground and it sprung up, right? Right away it sprung up. I believe. And I'm a little plant, and I've grown up. Now, what's going to happen? My leaf is spreading out, and I'm trying to put roots down. And then, it's hard to put roots down because there's a lot of rocks around here. There's a lot of stuff in the way, and I can't get a good grip. Oh, the sun! The sun! Oh, the sun! And the plant withers away and dies. Because it had no depth of root. And the soil around it dried up. And it couldn't drink up any water. And the rocks were in the way. It believed. They believed. But the tribulation and persecution that comes will cause them to stumble. It will make them be offended. And they will fail of the faith which they thought they'd take a hold of. The one talent that they thought they had is going to be taken from them. And they'll find that they have nothing. Nothing at all. Though they thought they had something. That is in Christianity so deep in all these teachings of Christ, the apostles, and people try to gloss over it like it isn't there. It is there. You can think you have salvation, but you could be deceived in yourself. You don't have nothing. You don't have nothing. Make your calling and election sure. Go take that talent and see it multiply. When you see it multiplying, you say, God is with me. God is with me. And it brings about some confidence. I'll tell you what, when it wasn't multiplying for me, I thought, he isn't with me. Because I'm not the way he says I ought to be. And I grieved. And I wept. And I sought him in prayer. And for 10 years, nothing happened. Nothing happened for 10 years. Until he finally delivered me. Sometimes we have to persist. You know why God gave that to me like that? So that I would learn patience. And so that I would be patient with other people as well. Not to think that they should just spring up and instantly have everything in order. That I could be patient with people and have a sense of mercy towards people. Remembering the long suffering of God that led me to repentance. And not despising his goodness and his kindness to let people kind of come along at their own pace. Because he does that. He's good like that. I don't see anybody who just stands up one day. People love these instantaneous change stories. And I had some instantaneous changes, but it wasn't everything. And I thank God it wasn't everything at that moment either, because then I would think, well, when the time comes, everything should change. You should be absolutely perfect instantly. And it said he gave me some things to give me hope and to put me on the right way. And so I hope the same thing could be for you. That the good news, the Christ has come, and he's come to save you and to turn you from your iniquities. That good news, that it would penetrate your heart and you would believe in the resurrection of Christ and his lordship over your life and submit yourself to it. How do I submit myself into it? By doing a bunch of commandments? No. By believing in his promise that all those things are there to make you a partaker, to make you, his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Everything that pertains to life, everlasting life, is there for us. We are just looking to take hold of it. We're looking for God to reach down and hand it to us, and we reach out to take it. That is good news. Bad news is, you got a lot of work to do, buddy. God has saved you, and now you got to try to be as excellent as you can. Just do your best. My best? But I suck. My best is, like, not very good. And it's a lot of hard work to do my best. My best ends up with me crying and trying and failing. That's my best. But God does something a little better. Changing the heart. It animates and excites me. And I hope it animates and excites you. And I hope if you feel that it's rambling, that maybe you would decide, yeah, this is the time to stop. When he says the end shall come at that time. Remember in the book of Revelation, the two witnesses appear during the sixth trumpet, right before the seventh trumpet sounds. And when they are slain and they rise from the dead, it's the final sign of Jonah. The only sign that people are going to recognize from God. When they rise, then the end comes. It says of the witnesses that when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and overcome them and kill them. There's a beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit. I will go at it. I don't want to go too far into Revelation, but that has reference to the Antichrist and to all his workers and to his angelic helpers, I suppose. I mean, we'll read the signs and we're going to try to understand them without trying to without getting beyond what is written and trying to just nail everything down too specifically. Because my mindset is that we need to know what it says. That will get us as far as we need to go. We need to know what it says and to become Christians. We need to become like Christ, and that will be enough. If we are walking with him in righteousness and in uprightness,